Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Is it Michael Kay? Is it At Home with Victoria? I think it's 8 o'clock in the U.S., so that is exactly what it means. Hey, good evening, everybody. As always, Michael Kay and I would like to thank you, a super thank you, for joining us tonight on At Home with Victoria. Michael, I have to say, I do believe that you have outdone yourself on tonight's show. You've got it going on tonight.
Well, I will have to agree with you, Victoria. You know what? When you are right, you are right. But yeah, I'm absolutely thrilled for tonight's show. We have two lovely ladies, Brooke Burns and Ashley Jones. Brooke Burns, you've known her from Dog Eat Dog and Shallow Hal, and mm-hmm. Ashley Jones from Young and the Restless and The Bold and the Beautiful. She's two-time Daytime Emmy nominated, and the two of them are stunning. They're starring together in a movie called A Sister's Revenge that's going to be airing on the Lifetime channel Saturday, April 27th at 8 p.m. Eastern. So I'm thrilled that they could take the time. And this is actually a Sherry Goldberg referral, too.
Yeah, and Sherry is wonderful. Sherry is out of L.A., and she always sends Michael and I just wonderful talent, whether they're talent that's already established in the industry or talent that's actually upcoming. So we're excited about that. I am super excited about Jackie Williams is going to be on our show, and I just got finished talking to him. He is an artist and musician from across the pond, and this is going to be his first U.S. interview, that first interview with Victoria Gaither and Michael Kay. So that is exciting. I was so excited about it. I asked Michael to take a picture because on his Facebook page, he wrote on there to his fans and friends that he's going to be on the show tonight, and he mentioned that this is his first U.S. interview. So I had Michael take a picture of that, and I used it as my cover photo because, you know, I'm a journalist. I've been doing this for 17, 18 years, so it's kind of cool to have somebody come on my show that it's been their first U.S. interview. That's awesome.
Absolutely, and I blame Shannon Sibbald for introducing me to him because she sent me his music, Unite With Me, and you can tell immediately that the kid is super, uber talented. My prediction, and this, I'm going to go down by saying this first of all, I think we're looking at the new Timberlake. I think he's going to go ahead and provide such a good niche market. The kid is super, super talented, has a great voice. But before we get to him, I want to mention, too, this month is National Autism Month, and Leslie Crusell will be joining us with her book, The Saga of Sammy, a little bit later in the show. But I know Jackie D was filming his new music video today, so let's not waste any more time. I know he's tired, so let's start with a little bit of music from Jackie D. Williams. Unite With Me, Web Wednesdays continues with this.
Unite with me.
Oh, hey, oh, hey, oh,
oh, oh.
Happy. That was the one and only Jackie Williams, who is joining us now on At Home with Victoria, all the way from Oxford, England. Jackie, thank you so much for being here, my friend.
Thank you for having me. I can't believe this is, well, it's very late, but I'm so happy to be on the phone to you guys.
I know. Although it's late there in England where you are, I want you to know it's 8 o'clock, and in America, that's prime time, so we're excited that our over 375,000 fans and listeners of At Home with Victoria, that we were able to introduce you to them. So tell us a little bit about music. Have you always been into music your whole life, or is this something that you just kind of started later on in your life? Have you been singing since you were a kid?
No, I tell you what, this is a bit weird. I was destined to be a tennis player when I was a young guy, and I kind of, I was always brought up on blues music. My dad's a great blues player, and he always wanted me to play. And I had a guitar my whole life, and I always pretended that I could play. And then one day, my brother decided he wanted to learn, and he got really good, and he got really good really fast and got popular. So I thought, right, now I've got to start playing guitar now, because I wanted to be as popular as he was. And that was around the age of 12, 13. And then I started to realize that no girls wanted to get to know the guitarist when there was a lead singer. So I started to sing off that.
Better than
and
the tennis player,
that's
for
the,
sure.
The passion and love I have now for it. So I'm very grateful and of my extreme envy of my brother.
Yeah, you climbed the charts really, really quickly. I'm looking at some of the information, and actually you're reaching number 4 on the R&B iTunes charts in the top 100 in the main charts. So clearly you're doing well, buddy.
Yeah, thank you. I was really overwhelmed by how well that the release of that EP, You Know With Me, did. It was unbelievable, something I never thought would happen as quickly as it did. So, yeah.
Yes.
Well, I think Jackie and Michael, that just goes to show that, you know, people know music and talent when they hear it, because to climb the chart that fast on iTunes is absolutely remarkable.
That's very kind of you. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, Shannon Sibbold turned me on to you, because actually a friend of hers, and I can't remember his name, but her friend from Jarl was actually in the music video with you, Unite With Me.
Oh,
I think
Jamie,
it was the guy.
Jamie.
Jamie, yes, that's the name, yes.
Yes, Jamie Ryan D, yeah, he's a good friend of mine. He was, that day shooting that video, I won't ever forget it. It was the coldest, coldest day of my life. Freezing at 6 o'clock in the morning, walking around East London, and he was an absolute trooper. He was really good. It was a great day.
Isn't it really a small world? I mean, I'm sitting here thinking about, Jackie, how you came into our lives in a sense in the U.S. in our show. through Shannon. And Shannon happened to find us on Facebook because she was following a very good friend of ours who's in the television business in L.A. So that was how we got introduced to Shannon. And it is amazing how Facebook and just social networking, you know, really makes the world small. Don't you think so, Jackie?
Yeah, we're all connected in some way.
That's true. Want to make a quick mention, too. You can find Jackie on YouTube also. He has a lot of – Jackie, some of your acoustic stuff just with you and the guitar is really brilliant on YouTube. And I was reading on Facebook, actually, you were actually filming your new music video today.
I was, yeah. That's the next single. It's called Always On My Mind, which I wrote back in November last year. And yeah, it's a real kind of energetic track, and I was really excited to do that today. And it was, really, really good fun. It's been long, but a really, really cool day and a bit surreal. I don't know. Have you heard the track yet? Have you heard it at all?
Oh, yes, I've heard it, Jackie. But I'll be honest with you. When Jack sent me the MP3, I saw the title Always On My Mind, and I thought, oh, dear, oh, it's going to be another remake of that song, Always On My Mind. And it was such a wonderful surprise. So without further ado, this is Jackie D. Williams with Always On My Mind. More with Jackie D. when we get back.
Thinking of if it's a come down, will you got me feeling rough? If it isn't me, please don't wake me
mind. Jackie, again, what a lovely surprise. I was really hoping it would be something like what you're doing. I'm loving the new sound. It sounds so old that it's almost new again, the little Jamiroquai feel to it.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, that's exactly what I've kind of been going for. I mean, from even though we put out the Unite With Me EP only in January, sonically I've kind of progressed a lot, and I'm really enjoying and feeling the sound that I'm kind of creating with the people that I've been writing with, and thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
No, absolutely. Jackie, let's talk about the Paradox EP. It was released May 14th of last year, am I correct?
No, it's on pre-order now, and it's coming out.
It's on pre-order now, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, through iTunes.
Yeah,
and you know, speaking of iTunes, as we were listening to the last song, I actually pulled up iTunes on my computer and saw you there. So it's always kind of like a surreal experience for me when we're interviewing somebody and I can just go on the internet and pull them up and, you know, to see your music on iTunes is just absolutely just a very cool feeling. So what is it like for you when you hear your own music, for example, being played on our show or on the radio? What is that like for you?
Well, it's always on my mind. That's probably the 50th time I've heard it today from shooting the music video.
He's sick of it.
Nah, I'm not sick of it. It's a great tune. I loved writing it with some very close friends of mine. It's always a great feeling. Not just because not listening to myself, that would be a bit too vain, but just the fact that people are showing a lot of love and a lot of support playing my music, and that that feeling can't be topped. It's not necessarily hearing my voice, it's just the fact that there are people out there that want to play it, which makes me great.
Yeah. Again, going back to the Paradox EP, is the whole EP going to have this kind of feel to it, this whole, or is it kind of, or you do mix it up a lot?
This EP, there's that track Always On My Mind, and then there's a remix of it, and then I have a much more, the reason why it's called the Paradox EP is that this Always On My Mind is about meeting the girl for the first time, falling in love, and then the next track is the complete polar opposite of that, and having your heart broken and coming across extreme trust issues within a relationship. And it's a ballad, and I did a music video for that, which got dropped, I think it was a week ago, which you can find online. That's got a lot more of a much more mellow feel to it. But and then there's a remix of that on the EP as well. And I don't know what it would be in US dollars. I know it's £1.79 here, but I don't know what would it, I don't even know what the exchange rate is. That's a different
thing. $3.
Oh, I talk a lot and I go off on a tangent all the time. I'm sorry. there's two singles and then the two remixes of them.
Yeah, and you actually co-wrote this with Lee Ryan from Blue.
I'm getting. He's a bit busy now with his reunion, but I hope to get back in the studio and carry on writing with him because we clicked really well and we worked together. So, yeah, he's an incredible writer. Really, really, really good.
Yeah.
And Jackie, do you currently have any plans of making it here or coming here in the U.S. for any concerts?
I at the moment nothing is booked in. I'm hoping. I've never crossed the pond, and I really, really want to. And especially to come and say thank you to you guys in person for having me on your show. But I really want to, and hopefully I can in the near future. But at the moment,
well, Michael, I'm kind of thinking I am not a certainly not one that can predict the future. I would never go that far, but I can certainly say just listening to your music and the drive that you have, I could clearly see one day you on tour here in the U.S. doing your thing. But you have to promise Michael and I when you do come to let us know, because we had you on our show first in the U.S., so we can get our dibs on you, get that first interview.
And all the treatment, I promise.
Go ahead, Jack.
No, I was just saying, I really hope I can come over, and I've been wanting to for so long. And it's definitely on the list to get
I find it so so wonderful that people from the UK want to get to the States, people from the States want to get to the UK, you know, you know, everybody wants to go ahead and be at a place. But want to make a quick mention too, you can catch Jackie D. Williams Tuesday, May 28th in Liverpool at the East Village Arts Club, Wednesday, May 29th in London at Borderline, and Thursday, May 30th in Oxford at Jericho. So Jackie, I've talked to many people in the music industry, and everybody has a different listening audience. L.A. is a different listening room than New York. It is different than Florida and stuff. What are the listening rooms like in the U.K.? Are they actually there to just drink and party, or are they there to actually listen to the music?
It really does vary with venues. I mean, I've been gigging since I was 12, 13, and I've done shows where I've been playing to about three, four people in a pub, and then I've been playing to sell-out shows in Coco in London to 100 people who all come to watch the music. So it really does depend on what you kind of get booked for, really. The support over here, especially in London and Oxford, has been really, really great for me, and lots of people coming up to the shows and being quiet when I'm singing, no one's shouting and talking or anything, so... there's a lot of love here, and it means so much to me that people will spend their money to come watch me. It means so much.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to make mention to anybody interested in tickets for the Liverpool, London, or Oxford shows, you can go to musicglue.com/Jackie D. Williams. And like Jackie said, tickets are £5 each, £6.50 in London. So, Jackie, the time goes so fast here. Where can we actually find you? I know I mentioned YouTube and Facebook. Where else are you?
I'm on Twitter. You can find me at Jackie D Music. I'm currently having my website built. There's a mad maintenance issue and everything went wrong, so that's currently being built. So that's to come. But find me on Twitter and find me on Facebook. And I always make sure it's my policy to respond to everyone, because for anyone to take the time out to show some love to me, I like to show it back.
Great.
Well, Jackie, once again, I can't thank you enough for staying up, take the time. Please thank Jack Williamson for me. I've been working with him. He's a good person in your corner and made this happen, and I just want to say thank you to both of you for taking the time. And congratulations. Welcome to the U.S.
Thank you very much, and I hope I'll stay in touch, and hopefully when I come out there, I'll come say hi to you and say thank you very much for having me.
Oh, you will come see us and say hi to us. Don't you worry about that. Michael and I are going to stalk you and track you down, especially if you're anywhere near New York and D.C., you will definitely see us.
I have plans there first, so don't worry. I'll be finding you.
Great. Jackie, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Have a good sleep, buddy. Talk to you soon.
You too. Have a good night. Take care.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye. And everyone, that was Jackie Williams, who was joining us. His first United States interview across the pond. He's from Oxford, England, and it's clear he's going to have a very successful career. You can find him on iTunes. You can find him on Twitter and also on Facebook. And, in fact, his Facebook page, he's got, looks like close to 4,000 people. So, as he said, Michael, he's getting a tremendous amount of support. So, you know, you guys check him out, and the music is just great. In fact, I just downloaded him on iTunes, so he will be on my iPod.
There we go. Yeah, his YouTube channel, too, is collecting great numbers, too. Yeah, my prediction, not the next Timberlake, so that's where I'm going to end it at. But I see our lovely Brooke Burns is actually in the queue, so I'm going to go to a little bit more music from Jackie. This is Dirty Diana. Actually, it's a live recording in Paris, but Jackie D. Williams, Dirty Diana in Paris. And when we get back, Brooke Burns, the lovely and charming Brooke Burns is here. I'm so excited. So, and you know what? She's a great host, too, so now I'm nervous. So now I gotta really dot my I's and cross my T's and all that stuff. So when we get back, Brooke Burns is in the house.
We're going to skate to one song only.
Take your weight off of me. I know your every move. Won't you just let me be? I've been at times before, but I was too blind to see that you seduce every man. This time you won't seduce me. You say that's okay, baby. Do what you please. I have the stuff that you want. I'm the thing that you need. You look me deep in the eye, but you make the band, she knows when they come to town. Every musician's fan after the curtain comes down. She breaks the backstage doors for those who have prestige, who promise fortune and fame, a life that's so carefree. She's saying that's okay, baby, do what you want. I'll be a nice looking thing, I'll be the freak you can turn. I don't care what you say, wanna go too far, I'll be your everything. If you make me a star, dirty day.
Dirty Diana in Paris. You can find him at JackieDWilliams.com. Joining us now is the lovely and charming, you've seen her on Dog Eat Dog, Shallow Hell, and The Most Wonderful Time of the Year. Brooke Burns joins us on and with Victoria. Brooke, thank you so much for taking the time.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, love. I'm so happy to be speaking with you. I was catching up on Dog Eat Dog, and I thought there's no way I could ever go ahead and host that because the outfits you wear, my child, my love, you look fantastic, mind you, but well done.
I will never forget my first New York Times review was for Dog Eat Dog, first woman or first game show ever to be hosted by a woman in a corset.
Funny.
And you have several of them.
Exactly. That's not just one. We have a whole wardrobe. Doggy Dog had some pretty fantastic outfits, it's true. Thank God I was doing it in my 20s.
But one of my favorite films, Shallow Hell, a very small part in that, honey, but again...
My first film.
Absolutely, and so well done. What was it like working with Jack Black?
Jack Black is amazing. He's so funny, you know, just working with him and a joy to be around. And the Farrelly brothers were great. They told me I was the dorkiest pretty girl that they'd ever met, which is why I guess they gave me that role. And it was fun, you know, getting to put on the unibrow and the zits and, you know, bad posture.
Well, yeah, Vic, I don't know if you saw the film, but Brooke, seriously, to go from what you look like now to what you look like in the end of the film, I thought, I think it would be harder to make you look ugly than to make an ugly person look good, you know?
That's very kind of you. After the film, I was so obsessed with Katrina that I wanted to take photos and then send out headshots and actually only go out on character roles as Katrina.
Funny.
Good stuff.
Hey, Brooke, I wanted to say hello, and again, thank you so much for being here tonight on At Home with Victoria. And I was reading your bio and just reading up some information on Wikipedia, and of course, you know, Michael is always interested in the acting and the movies and all that stuff, but I was interested in the skiing because I'm a skier myself. So do you still ski?
You know, I haven't been skiing in a long time. I had an ex-boyfriend tell me once that I was built for looks and not for speed. And that was accurate. I was a ballerina for many, many years, and the same body type that works for ballet does not work
for skiing.
Apparently.
Yeah.
I've torn my ACL twice, snow skiing. So I'm pretty much done with the slopes unless we're doing cross-country skiing or I'm on a bunny slope with my 5-year-old niece.
Right. So you kind of decided to go ahead and give up on that. But so
my daughter
you're here
loves
tonight.
To ski, however, she's a fantastic skier.
Oh, very, very, very cool. But you're here tonight to talk about a project that you are doing right now for Lifetime, right? Lifetime
That's
TV.
That's right. That's right. Saturday, the 27th, April 27th at 8 p.m., we are going to be airing A Sister's Revenge for the first time. I'm very excited. It was a really fun role for me because I play evil, evil, evil.
To the core, evil, like terribly horrible to the core. Want to go ahead and interject pretty quickly right now. Ashley's on the line. I'm going to go ahead and bring her up. Ashley Jones, two-time Daytime Emmy Award nominee. Actually, three, because, Ashley, you were also nominated for Irresistible Combination with Jack Wagner.
Right. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. Welcome to the show, Ashley.
Oh, good. Okay, great.
Hey, sweet girl.
Hi, it's been fun listening to you talk. I distinctly remember watching Dog Eat Dog, and a dog eats dog or dog eat dog?
Dog eat dog. Just one eat.
I distinctly remember the outfits, and I remember thinking how I don't know that I could ever get hired to do something like that because I didn't have that body. I distinctly remember thinking that.
Oh, please. Have you seen Ashley's body? You could do it today.
We've seen pictures.
She's gorgeous,
yeah, she's gorgeous,
she's
too.
Pulling,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ashley, well, you're gorgeous,
you.
Too. Don't even try that on at home with Victoria.
Yeah, I'm not crying any tears of sympathy over here.
So listen, what was it like for both of you working together? Brooke, you go first. What was it like working with Ashley?
It was great working with Ashley because I don't know if you guys know, but she's also producing the film. So it was really fun to get to work side by side with an actor who had a lot more insight into the daily workings of what we were trying to accomplish every day. And also the ability to go, okay, you know what, we don't have time for that, so we're cutting that, that's gone. Or, okay, you want to do this in the scene? Yeah, I like that, let's do it. And, you know, she had some veto power, which is really great, and she's a really smart and wonderful lady, so I really enjoyed working with her.
You're giving me way too much credit. We had
Ashley, what was it like
Feel
for you?
Feel the love, girls.
I didn't have that much power. It was some of my work was done before we even started, you know, production, but I have to give our producer, Pierre David, a lot of credit because he's been very good to me and really taught me a lot. But I had met Brooke and I knew her work, but I didn't know her personally. And I can't tell you how much fun it was. I feel like we clicked right from the beginning. She, when whoever told you that you're the prettiest dorky girl, it's the most accurate thing.
Yeah.
She's so gorgeous and intimidating. But the minute you start talking to her, she's the most down to earth. Like you forget that she's like, you know, who she is and everything because she's just so real and cares about her daughter. And she's the easiest person in the world to go shopping with. And I truly haven't had so much fun on a set in a long time. We spent a lot of time, you know, on our downtime work, just being out together. And
girl bonding.
It was very, very enjoyable. Truly, it was one of my most enjoyable experiences doing this type of film.
Thanks, Mama.
Awesome.
Yeah. Ashley, let's go to you first. A Sister's Revenge coming out on the Lifetime Channel Saturday, April 27th, 8 p.m. Eastern. Give us a little bit of the breakdown of the film.
It's really about a woman that was scorned, her family was scorned, and she seeks revenge later on in life and feels like she can't go on. I'm basically giving Brooke should be telling you this is her character's insight, but it really does center around Brooke's motivation, her character's motivation, and it's a great thriller because I think a lot of it's going to hit home for a lot of people. I think a lot of middle-aged men or you know, Tim's not exactly middle-aged, but you know, men that are starting their life. There's something in the back of their head that maybe happened that really wasn't their fault. It wasn't anything horrible, but you know, everybody has a past, and it's a little bit about when your past catches up and how you handle it. And my character is a little bit of a you know, I am more of an observer of what's going on around me, and it's truly the meat of the movie is between Brooke's character and Tim Razan's character, and it's gripping, and there's twists, and what I love about it is you don't really, it's not as predictable as you would think. It's a smart film, and it's relatable. Mm-hmm. Brooke's character isn't totally relatable, let's hope. If you're relating to Brooke's character, please call 9-1-1 to get your
I'm really enjoying listening to you explain the movie because I've been talking about it from my own perspective for the last week, and I love hearing it from somebody else's point of view.
I kind of want to hear what you have to say now.
Yeah, Brooke, Brooke, you tell us.
My mom saw you on Fox News, by the way. I think it was Fox something, and she was very excited. She called to say how articulate you were and smart and beautiful, and she can't wait to see the film.
That's very,
so
very
I'm
sweet.
Like, nice, Brooke. Good job.
No, thank you. Thank you. No, for me, you know, being the character Suzanne, the reason that I loved the film is because she gets to play so many faces of evil. And it starts out, though, with her weaving a very slow web with this guy. And I love the backstory that my character has, where she comes from a family of abuse and mental illness. But we don't know that until much further along in the film. And really, the justification, which is always important when you're playing an evil character, for me, was this deep love and devotion that she has to her sister. And when things go bad and she discovers, you know, about the death of her sister, she blames one man. And for that, she loses touch with reality and moves into, you know, a very extreme place to go and avenge her sister's death. And by doing that, she basically weaves this really dark web of seduction and befriending his wife and taking his child and, you know, basically causes him to suffer, she hopes, unto death.
Yeah. Actually, I have an audio clip here, too, and I listened to it. Sherry sent me a few of them down, and this one I thought was going to be a spoiler, but when I listened to the whole thing, it's like, no, it doesn't really give anything away, but some great acting. This is A Sister's Revenge on Lifetime on the 27th.
I know what this is about, and I want to clear the air.
Do you know?
I am sorry about your sister.
I'm sure you are.
I don't know what she told you, but things were never that serious between us.
Well, you got her pregnant.
I am sorry. I cannot change what happened.
That's exactly right. You can't. No one can.
What do you want from me? You want me to apologize to her? Get her on the phone. I will apologize.
Are you not listening? We can't.
Why?
She's dead. She killed herself. And you don't know the life she had. She was the most beautiful, sweet, innocent little girl. And you know what? She would have been a beautiful mother. Don't touch me.
I'm sorry. I didn't know. You have every right to be angry.
Do you think that you can just talk your way out of this?
What do you want me to do? I mean, whether you believe me or not, I'm sorry. I never meant to hurt your sister.
You didn't mean to hurt her? You may as well have blown her brains out yourself. When I lost her, I lost everything that was important to me. I was this close to joining her. Do you know what stopped me? One thing. The hope of finding you.
What can I do?
You know what you can do? You can suffer the way you made Ariel suffer. That's what you can do.
Ooh.
Yay! Clapping, clapping, clapping.
Ew.
Yeah, Vic, you gotta get home before 8 o'clock on Saturday, that's for sure.
Yes, the drama. I'm literally sitting here, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, what is going to happen? And, you know, Ashley and Brooke, while I was thinking and listening to this, I was thinking about Lifetime, and the deal with Lifetime is that you kind of know going into Lifetime what you're going to get, that it's going to be some really, really good drama stuff. So I was sitting here thinking about that. So and Brooke, you go first, and then Ashley. So, you know, having this on Lifetime, you know, Lifetime is sort of that channel where, you know, you're going to get some drama with it.
Oh, yes, a lot of drama. And, you know, again, for my character, I think it was so much fun because she starts out trying to, you know, work her way into his life. And by doing that, she's putting forward, you know, a seductive, fun, playful character, you know, to really work her way in there. And at the same time, she knows, so it's very cat and mouse, she knows that she has this thread of single-mindedness and knowing where she's going with it. So it gives her a lot of power throughout the film, which is really fun, and a lot of drama. There's really nothing she didn't do to make sure that Tim's character suffers.
Yeah, you can go to Lifetime.com, actually, /movies, type in A Sister's Revenge. You actually have stills from certain scenes on there, which I think is very, very good. Not to veer off the track, but Brooke, you worked with one of my favorite actors who we had in the show, Henry Winkler, in The Most Wonderful Time of the Year.
My favorite.
Great
human
film.
Being.
Watched you in that one, too.
Thank you. We worked together, and he played my Uncle Ralph in Most Wonderful Time of the Year, and I have to tell you, I literally wanted to adopt him as my Uncle Ralph.
Yeah. Nicest guy, seriously.
Yeah, we
so,
still
so
talk,
kind.
And he is. He's one of the most beautiful, wonderful human beings that walks the earth. So if you ever get a chance to hang out with him, meet him, work with him, I highly, highly, highly recommend it.
Yeah, he was doing actually a play with Alicia Silverstone in New York for a little while. I think that just closed up on March 14th, but fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic guy. Ashley, too, True Blood. Honest
Ooh.
To God, I never got into the vampire thing, but True Blood,
yeah.
Absolutely fantastic show. What was it like working on that set?
It was really a kind of a life-altering experience as far as my career, because to work with an Academy Award winner like Alan Ball, you know, you want to impress him a lot, but you also, it's so nice to work with someone that you trust. And you just, everybody wanted, you know, everybody was early to work. They really wanted to be there. And you know, I think the majority of working actors today, especially in today's climate, have that mentality and that desire. And I know on our crew, I felt like, sometimes I felt like I was the weak link just because everyone was really, I was so impressed with the cast on A Sister's Revenge. But True Blood was fun. I met people that I would probably have, you know, I feel honored to have the chance to work with them. I got to play also evil, and that's kind of what helped me when Pierre and I were discussing who was going to play Suzanne, Brooke's character. We discussed my character on True Blood a little bit, because the beauty of an evil character, especially someone like Suzanne, you don't want to cast someone that's going to give it all away. And you want to cast someone that, you know, there's a percentage of them that they really see themselves as the victim.
Interesting.
The victim, as the hero, as, you know, they don't see themselves, you know, unless it's very rare that someone, I think that especially in real life, of course, I was playing a shapeshifter that's not real, but I really believed my character really believed that she was doing something for the better good. I've been watching The Following. I don't know if anyone's watching that, but it's so interesting seeing these people play these characters that it's so ridiculous and surreal, but also they really believe in that they're doing something for the greater good. And when Pierre found Brooke and, you know, I found out she was willing to do it, and it was such a relief because she brought that element that I think is so key. You have to hire someone that, you're watching Brooke for 2 hours. You need to make sure that you like her. You know, you want to love to hate her in the end. You don't just want to hate her and have her off screen. And that's a very delicate thing when casting. And I, you know, I think working on True Blood gave me a little bit of a different perspective from my usual go-to character is kind of what I'm playing in A Sister's Revenge. And so True Blood was such a variation of that.
And I just wanted to mention, ladies, and also Michael on True Blood, I was certainly not one who was interested in sort of movies or series that, that had to deal with vampires and that sort of thing. But I have to tell you, the way that that was shot, I mean, I literally found myself being really addicted to actually watching that. I mean, you know, the whole way that the sequence, the sort of grittiness of it, was absolutely amazing. And then Ashley and Brooke, as a result from True Blood, I mean, just me sort of fast-forwarding in my brain as a journalist, I think out of that came all of these other sort of movies and series that dealt with vampires and that sort of genre of movies and shows. So it really seemed like that True Blood to me kind of kicked off, whether it's the American appetite or the world's appetite for those kinds of movies, because as a result, you know, it's like you can't turn on any television station in America and not see some type of vampire type of movie. I mean, wouldn't you guys say so?
Oh, yes, and it's multi-generational because I know that now I bond with my 12-year-old daughter who's in that preteen zone over The Vampire Diaries.
Oh, The Vampire Diaries.
Yeah.
7 million. It's, what I found so interesting is that, you know, I think vampires, look, they've been around forever. We've, you know, the Dracula, that whole, everything is, you know, it predates our existence. By far, I think the world is kind of intrigued by immortality and different things, and it kind of goes in waves and phases, and there's a superhero element to it and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, really it was the book, Charlene Harris wrote the book that became a bestseller and kind of kicked off True Blood. And I will say that Alan Ball had his finger on the pulse of something, and then Kevin Williamson picked up on that with Vampire Diaries, and Julie Plec is doing she's a friend of mine, she's doing an amazing job with running that show.
Oh my God! Get me on that show. You're going to be my daughter's hero. we'll talk later.
I was going to say, you know, we're all going to dinner. I'll make that happen. But you definitely. She tweets all the time. I'm trying. I've been trying to get Brooke more active on Twitter.
I know.
Come on, Brooke.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm working on it. I am working on it.
You are working on it.
Thank you.
But what I was going to say about the vampire thing that's so interesting and kind of leads us back a little bit to this Lifetime thing, I am just, you know, True Blood was on HBO. It had a little violence, a little sex, a little all this. And Vampire Diaries is definitely the PG version of that. And then, of course, you have Twilight and all that. But it seems like the network has taken it's every year the pilot season gets edgier and edgier and edgier for network television. And I can't even watch Hannibal. Have you guys watched Hannibal?
I don't like, I can't do that.
I caught one thing, and I get it. I mean, I would normally watch it, but I spook too easily. I am just a big friggin' wimp when it comes to stuff like this. True Blood, definitely, for the sex, it was worth left definitely looking at.
At least you have your priorities straight.
Absolutely.
Right. Michael has his priority straight. For the sex, then I'll go ahead and do it. Yeah.
You
have
violence
for the
and sex, yes. Just violence, no.
Right.
True Blood and Vampire Diaries and Twilight, they all have a fantastical element. So, you know, on some level, it's not real. And so you can spend it and go into that world. But the following and Hannibal and some of these new things that are coming out that are also in that vein of that same blood, gory, whatever, they're based in reality. And I just can't believe that they have, I mean, I must say I'm watching The Following, but it's how much further are we? I mean, it's really scary stuff. I just hope someone these are great ideas. So,
yeah, but I think network television definitely has been cutting edge. I'm sorry to cut you off here, Ashley, too, but I think what's happening, too, is that with the foray into the web medium, there are so many web series out there that are really pushing the boundaries, so much so that HBO, Showtime, NBC, CBS aren't picking them up for that exact nature, but yet they still have to go ahead and give that edge to their viewers.
Right.
So I see where you're going with that, but... ladies, I hate to say it, but we're out of time.
No.
Absolutely, we're out of time. Time, A Sister's Revenge, goes ahead and airs on Lifetime Saturday, April 27th, 8 p.m. Ashley and Brooke, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to come out. Congratulations on a great project. I'm looking forward to watching it.
And come back. Will you guys come back as you do new things? You know, remember us. We're a very, very small show, but you can tell Michael and I are very loving hosts. And you guys come back and visit anytime.
You guys are fantastic.
Well, I hear your show is actually a little bigger than you're giving credit for. And is there any way
we can tweet
humility is the most attractive quality.
I agree with Brooke. Absolutely. Brooke Barnes just called me attractive.
Yes, darling.
Ladies, it was a...
Can we tell people, can they download this, or is there a podcast?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. It's you can get us free on iTunes. We're very fortunate to be as a free podcast on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio.
Right.
So we'll send a copy of it to Sherry, and we'll make
sure
you guys get it.
And we'll post it on our social media stuff.
Actually, I'll go ahead and I'll tag both of you in. I liked both of your pages on Facebook, so I'll tag you into that. It'll go to your Facebook page, and it'll be available 3 minutes after the show closes.
Yay!
Yeah.
Wonderful. Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Ladies, an absolute pleasure talking with you both. Have a great night. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You too.
Bye.
And again, guys, that was the one and only actress, Brooke Burns, and also
Ashley Jones.
I mean, they are two of the most beautiful women, I swear, that I have ever seen. I mean, just absolutely gorgeous. But more importantly, like, they just seem like they're down to earth and nice and have a great personality. Don't you love that?
Well, I think you gotta be nice and not be a big schmuck if you're that pretty. You can't be, you know, pretty.
You can't be both,
schmuck.
Right?
You know,
exactly.
It doesn't make sense. But I see in the queue we have Leslie Crusoe, author of You Don't Need to Know That, The Saga of Sammy, Holding Patiently. So we're gonna go to a little bit more music. This is Jackie D. Williams with I'll Be Moving. When we get back, Leslie Crusoe's here.
Ooh, girl, the way you move, you know exactly what I do. Can you see me? You can be my señorita, oh, baby. Come with me and maybe we can run away, cause baby, lady, I'm the only one to talk to. Lady, you can't stop me moving as we move our feet to the melody. When you feel that beat, you move into me. Baby, we'll make this last forever. We're gonna dance until whenever. Think it a way to make this vanish like this rhythm we are twisted. Just keep playing to the music. Let's get dirty and abuse it. But this ain't love, no, this ain't love, no, this ain't love, no. I'll be moving. Ooh, girl, I'm feeling you with the way you ride that groove. Can you feel me? You can be my little Lolita, oh, baby. You ain't acting shady. Tonight we're leaving, lady. And maybe we can do whatever you want to. Lady, this is one night only. So let's move our feet to the melody. When you feel that beat, you move into me. Baby, we'll make this last forever. We're gonna dance until whenever. Take it away to make this vanish. Like this rhythm, we are twisted. Just keep playing to the music. Let's get dirty and abused. This rhythm, baby, we'll make.
National Autism Awareness Month, and I couldn't think of anybody better, Vic, than our lovely Leslie Crusell, who was on a while back talking about her daughter, Sammy. Leslie, so nice to have you back to the show. How are you, doll?
I am wonderful, and it is my pleasure. Victoria, Michael, officially, thank you and hello.
Well, hello, and thank you so much for being here. Michael was telling me, Leslie, when he was putting together the show about the guests that were on tonight. And I said, you know, I really think this is a nice, well-rounded show. And to end the show to talk about such an important topic that's on the minds of, you know, not only millions of Americans, but now if you look at the numbers, you know, people from all over the world, autism is just always in the news and it affects so many families.
Well, it's been a very interesting year. I did want to add a couple of things. Number one, I loved that song. The song that you
yes.
did was fabulous. And number two, I was completely enthralled with your conversation with Brooke and Ashley. I have seen that Christmas movie with Brooke and Henry Winkler several
Yay.
Times, and I absolutely love it. And, you know, I'm a complete lifetime addict myself.
Awesome.
I didn't want to say that either, Leslie, but I really am too. It's one of those, you know, it's one of those Saturday, Thursday, Monday afternoon channels that I just may happen to go ahead and stop on for a while.
That's what
My
I was trying
daughter.
To say when I – I'm sorry. That's what I was sort of trying to say when I mentioned about – how you know Lifetime is going to bring you drama. I didn't really want to come out and say, I'm addicted to Lifetime. I love the channel. So that was sort of my sort of friendly way of saying, I'm addicted. I really love Lifetime because it's always about drama on there.
That's so funny. Everyone I know loves Lifetime. And when my older daughter is over, if I'm watching a movie, she knows. She'll say, don't bother Mom. She's watching a Lifetime movie. I mean, she knows exactly. But anyway, back to the autism. It has been, gosh, quite a revelation this last few months. The numbers have just been creeping up and creeping up just unbelievably. We were at 1 in 88 being diagnosed, and more currently, would you believe it's about 1 in 55?
Wow.
So
see.
This is just really mind-boggling at this time, and it has sent, I think, researchers and doctors and parents really into, you know, high gear to really get to the bottom of this. It is just unbelievable.
Yeah, Leslie, there's been a lot of research done on the cause, I guess is one way to say it, of autism. A lot of information is pointing to immunization during you know, childhood and stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you really find that to be a plausible cause for autism?
Well, that's the $64,000
question. Yeah, that's the question, right? Yeah.
As it were, but what I think most of the research is showing is that there seems to be several different triggers which might open the door for anyone who has a propensity anyway, which they're trying to find through DNA and gene testing and all the genetics piece of autism. The other piece is that we're looking at something that has to be common for everyone, because these numbers have just gone off the chart now. There has to be a whole base of common factors, even outside of genetics. There has to be something innate or environmental or something genetic that is linking all of us together. Now, when my daughter was diagnosed many, many years ago, it was a very, very different time. There were no answers. There were not a whole lot of supports really in place, and it was a big mystery. Today, mm-hmm. we're reading, you know, every other month oh, they're looking at this as a cause of autism. Oh, they're looking at this as a cause of autism. There is no definite, quote-unquote, cause, but they are looking at the fact that even though it has been disproven that immunizations, quote-unquote, cause autism, you will still find many, many, many parents who will swear that it is a direct link to immunizations. So that's a really tough, loaded question, because many people will say, yes, I truly believe that's the cause. But basically, scientifically, it has been disproven.
Yeah, and you know, it's very interesting because in my career as a journalist, I've covered this topic. You know, I've interviewed doctors from Johns Hopkins, I've interviewed doctors, local doctors in different communities where I have worked. I've interviewed parents. I mean, I did some interviews when there was different rallies and things on Capitol Hill in Washington D.C. And the one of the good things that I think that has actually come out of this is awareness, Leslie and Michael, and also that, you know, whether you believe it's tied to immunization or whether you don't, that the conversation is in the forefront, that people are talking about it, that, you know, parents are sort of pushing folks in the medical community to find answers, to do these studies, to see what it is that's actually wrong with kids. And, you know, anybody who just sort of knows my background know my sweetheart is a doctor, a surgeon and emergency medicine. So he and I have these conversations, quite often if we're watching something on television with autism, or, you know, we have these conversations. But I have to say, just if I were a parent, just although the research doesn't support that it's tied to immunization, if I were a parent, I really would honestly have to take a second look and think about that, because it does seem like, although there's no scientific evidence to show it, that that's around the time when a lot of the kids do get sick. So I just kind of feel like,
well, there
you know,
you go.
You can't
exactly
discount that, you know.
Yep.
You can't, you just can't, although, you know, how we know with doctors and different organizations, the pediatrics and the people that speak for kids and that, I just don't think, you know, even as a parent or as a human being, that you can discount something like that. You just can't.
It is not going away. It is not going away. That argument and that debate and that belief system is not going away. It has been in place. They have tried very hard to move away from it, but it's just not going away.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere,
Interestingly, there is some validity to it in terms of many, many people I know will say, yes, my child began to exhibit autistic characteristics after we had the immunizations at 18 months or at 24 months. I have heard that many, many times. And so it's a debate that will continue until it is, you know, empirically, completely, totally, 110% disproven. But the medical world will tell us now, no, there's no connection. But people will not give it up. And it's probably a good thing, because as a parent, I know I want more proof. I'm not going to just say, okay, I believe that now because this study was done. I want over, above, and beyond proof. And I think that's where most parents are at right now.
Well, I think parents are also screwed because their children will not even be accepted into public school without their immunization. So you really kind of have to walk that fine line.
Yeah.
I want to go to you for a second, Leslie. Jenny McCarthy, her son was diagnosed with autism, and she claims she has cured him with organic foods and stuff. It's like having someone say that they don't have MS anymore. It's not physically possible to be cured from autism. What are your thoughts?
I have my thoughts, and then I have my thoughts. And the thoughts that I can share on air with you are that you are 100% correct. There is no cure. There is no one that I know, no one that I have known over the last 22 years that could say my son or daughter is cured. I have many friends and acquaintances who have seen great improvement in their children. A diet is not a cure. A diet is one
portion.
Piece of the pie, so to speak, that will terrifically help your child and will definitely make a difference. but it is not a cure. It is one thing. If you want to look holistically, you know, natural foods, and you have the gluten-free, and you have dairy-free, and we all do that, and it's great, and we do see a difference. But I would never, ever go so far as to say one thing cured my child. I don't know anyone who can say my child is cured of autism.
Absolutely.
I think that's a very tough thing to say, and I think that it reflects on other parents and families to the point where we're thinking, well, gee, what's wrong with us? You know, we didn't cure our children. What did we do wrong?
Right. Well, and, you know, and I do want to mention, just because, you know, at the end of the day, I am a journalist. Of course, Jenny's not here to speak for herself when it actually comes to that. Those are public statements that she has made, you know, has made. So I just wanted to throw that out there. But Leslie, in your case, I neglected to ask for some background information, because we do have a lot of folks listening in the chat room, and also people listening all over. I know you've been on the show before, but can you give us just you know, sort of a quick 411 background on how it is that that the book came about, and that, you know, why you are so active and concerned about autism?
Well, I've been an educator for, you know, many, many, many years. I'm now sort of at the end of my career, coming toward the end of my career. I teach at the college level right now. But when I wrote the book, I was ending my career as a K-12 instructor. I had taught high school, and then I was at the district office. I was a teacher trainer. I sat on both sides of the IEP table, not only as the teacher with my own students who were special needs, where I was the school representative or even the district representative. And then I sat on the other side of the table as the mom, listening about my own child in a neighboring district. And it was very, very difficult situation and a very, very difficult position to be in. And when my child was, my daughter Sammy, was going through the school system, she was basically the only child with autism. Now, there were others coming up behind her as the numbers began to increase, but we were sort of the lone trailblazers in our district. So here I was in my own district as the teacher, the expert, the this, the that, but then as the mother in the school district where my child went to school, I was out of it. I didn't know. I didn't understand. I didn't have support. I was seen as you know, the mom across the table, not as a fellow peer educator, and it was very, very tough. So when I left the public school system before I went into the college system, I thought, you know, I see the numbers jumping off the chart here, back then even began to climb, and we've survived for, you know, all these years through thick and thin, through the good, the bad, the meltdowns, the every possible issue you could imagine. The older sibling, my older daughter, who was the star at the other end of the spectrum of, you know, the most popular girl and so pretty and the pitcher on the softball team and all these wonderful things. And then at the other end was my Sammy, who struggled with every possible facet of life and education. And I thought other parents who are just beginning their journey to experience these things might benefit or might like to hear from a parent who's already been through things, who can say, gosh, we made it. We've been through sort of to hell and back, and we survived, and my marriage is intact. And unfortunately, that's a casualty often of a family with a child with special needs. You have a lot of single moms out there who are managing these tough situations. So I wrote about our experiences in a very realistic and honest way, hoping that other families and parents might benefit and say, well, gosh, if they made it, you know, I can make it. Or
and how can we
that
find
too.
That? And how can we tell us where people can find the book?
The publisher is Tate, T-A-T-E, Publishing. And you can also find the book on Amazon, of course. It's called You Don't Need to Know That, which is a long title. But the actual title is The Saga of Sammy. The longer title of You Don't Need to Know That came about when we were at the dinner table and we were asking both the girls when they were in elementary school the typical family conversation, oh, how was your day? And we asked our older daughter, Dana, what'd you do at school today? And, of course, you know, she was in a race, and she beat all the boys at recess and, you know, some glowing thing. And we turned to Sammy, and we said, Sammy, how was your day today? Can you tell us, you know, something that happened at school today? And she looked right at us, looked right in the eye and said, you don't need to know that. And we didn't know where that came from. We kind of were stunned for just a second and thought, where did that come from? So it was the perfect title for the book.
Yeah. And I will say too, Leslie, and to all the listeners out there, the book is very informational, but it also has a great humor to it, which I do give you credit to showing, because I think the humor is what's going to go ahead and save you. Really quickly, I know we're running out of time, honey, but how is Sammy doing? Is she okay?
Sammy is doing great. We're in the process right now of getting a job. And
wow!
Yay!
Yeah, we're very excited. She is very skilled at knitting and sewing and crocheting and crafts and things like that. So we're looking at possibly Michael's Craft Store or Joanne Fabric or someplace like that.
Excellent.
So we're just beginning the process. She'll probably have a job coach. And so, you know, we've got our fingers crossed. A lot of our kids are very capable and very, very much wanting to contribute to society and be working and, you know, be just like everybody else. So
yeah.
We're very hopeful and excited that this will happen over the next few months.
Well, Leslie, thank you so much for taking the time. We are actually pretty much out of time. We want to thank you so much for just, you know, joining us on the tail end of the show and what
thank
you do
you.
And, you know, your advocacy with autism is important. So keep it up, because I'm sure that community needs your voice out there. And again, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Take care, Leslie.
Take care.
Thank you, everyone.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, I'm happy Sammy's getting a job and stuff. The book, you don't need to know that it's through Amazon.com, and it's actually a delightful read. But I want to actually make mention of everybody up in chat. Bob Sipes joining us, Goofy Bone, our good friend Goofy Bone, guest 4177, all the new guests who were here before, and my brother from another mother, Mr. Mike Cullip. Victoria, we have for those who don't know, this is the first show that Victoria and I are actually doing in the same house. Victoria's down. We're about to go ahead and leave for a little press tour into D.C., and I'm really excited, Vic. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Yes, so make sure you check out our fan pages and follow us on Facebook and also on Twitter, and we're going to be uploading some more video on YouTube. So Michael and I are always out and about doing things, and don't forget that if you want us to come to your community or cover a story, you can just email us at homewithvictoria@yahoo.com, and we'll certainly get back with you. But a wonderful show, Jackie, Ashley, Brooke, and also Leslie, a great show. And again, a great job tonight, Michael. We're going to play some music as we head out and say goodnight.
Yes, we're going to listen to a little bit more Jackie D. Williams, Surface of My Heart. So good night, Vic, and good night, everybody. For Victoria, I'm Michael Kay.
Never thought that you'd be the one to give me up so that you could run. And while I'm fighting to put down this foe, I think it's about time that you know it's not okay that you think it's okay. Love on your turn and cast me away. And now you're saying that you wanna come home. Well, I guess you know how it feels to be alone. But thank you.
Well, maybe I shouldn't do
an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelly Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.